Danny "Mac" Gable is one of the greatest collegiate athletes and coaches of the 20th century. As a wrestler, he was a three-time All-American, winning two NCAA national championships and a gold medal at the 1972 Olympic Games. He followed his career on the mat with an even more celebrated coaching career at the University of Iowa, leading the Hawkeyes to 21 Big Ten championships and 15 national championships. The United States is proud to honor Danny "Mac" Gable for his remarkable contributions to the sports world and to our great American story.
Who Dan Gable is. He's an Iowa State champion from Waterloo. He's an NCAA champion from Iowa State. He was a 1972 Olympic gold medalist for the United States, and then he became a successful wrestling coach for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And now, Dan Gable is a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian honor available in the United States. Gable was awarded the Medal of Freedom earlier today in Washington, D.C., surrounded by his family. It is a tremendous honor, both for Dan and for the sport of wrestling. Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer, and I'm glad you're here. It's Monday, December 7th. Been a while since we last talked. Over the last couple weeks, I've been busy with some non-wrestling things and also some wrestling things, but we recently moved our podcast from SoundCloud to Omni, so that took a little bit of time, and I couldn't post anything while that transition was underway, and I also just needed some time away for a little while after the conclusion of a weird and wonky high school football season. And to be honest, we could be in store for much of the same once we get to wrestling season, and to be honest, the lack of Division I schedule right now kind of has me all out of whack. Iowa State and Northern Iowa don't have schedules released yet. That's kind of how I start my winter seasons. I throw all the Division I competitions on the board, and then I kind of fill it in with some high school stuff here and there, and some D3 stuff, some NAIA stuff, just kind of whatever I can get to from then on. So hopefully we'll get those sometime soon, maybe even this week. The high schoolers did actually get underway this weekend, which was very exciting to see, even if that season's also going to be kind of a weird one. We're powering through still, though, in today's show. Not a super long one, but I wanted to make sure we mentioned Dan Gable here. It's a really big day for him and for wrestling. I've got the audio from his Medal of Freedom presentation here for you guys. You heard a small bit of it at the top of the podcast, but before we get there, quick story about Dan and just kind of what led to this moment, right? The process to ensure that Dan was even considered for the Presidential Medal of Freedom began more than a year ago. One of his sons-in-law, Danny Olsta, became curious about the award after researching it in 2019. Danny is a lifelong New York Yankees fan and discovered that both Yogi Berra and Babe Ruth had been previously honored. That kind of got the wheels turning, right? So Danny drafted a letter in July 2019 to formally nominate Gable for the award, and he sent that to the office of U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, who's from Iowa. That was the first of what became really a wide-ranging effort to recognize Dan Gable. So Grassley's office sends that letter to the White House. The letter also makes its way to the offices of both Jim Jordan, a U.S. representative and a former college wrestler and coach from Ohio, as well as U.S. Representative Dave Loebsack, who represents Iowa City. Both Jordan and Loebsack are members of the Congressional Wrestling Caucus, which is a group of members of Congress who were wrestlers or have a strong interest or involvement in the sport. I didn't know that a Congressional Wrestling Caucus existed until I went about doing this story. Thought it was kind of unique. Anyway, the caucus penned a letter to the president in August requesting that Gable be honored with the award. They wrote specifically, "Your selection of Coach Gable would cement his stature and cap his career in a way no one else in the sport has previously achieved. Our entire wrestling community, young and old, athlete and fans, would embrace his recognition across our great nation," end quote. So then fast forward to October, and the White House formally informed Gable that he would be receiving the award, and that brings us to today, where Gable stood inside the Oval Office to formally accept the award. He was surrounded by his family, his wife Kathy, his daughters Molly, Jenny, Annie, and Mackie, plus their husbands and his 13 grandchildren. He could not have pictured this day without them. They were there with him throughout much of his wrestling life, getting a front row seat to one of the greatest American careers the sport has ever seen. That brings us to today's podcast, which is live audio of Gable's Medal of Freedom ceremony. It's pretty quick. Begins with President Trump rattling off many of Gable's accomplishments, and then Dan talks for a minute, and then the actual ceremony itself, which in hindsight, not a great sound play, like not ideal for a podcast, but you'll hear the camera clicks, you'll hear the applause, all that fun stuff. So let's go to that now. Dan Gable receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Here we go.
In American history, Iowa legend Dan Gable. He has been an incredible inspiration to so many people. We're joined today by Dan's wonderful wife, Kathy, and their incredible and large family, including 13 grandchildren. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kathy, very much. It's a great honor for us, too. Thank you for being here. We're also joined by Iowa Senators Chuck Grassley. Where's Chuck? Chuck, congratulations on everything, Chuck. And Joni Ernst, who just had a big victory. Thank you, Joni. What a job. What a job. They had you down a couple of points, and you won by a lot. So, you know, it's one of those things that you should be very proud of yourself. You campaigned hard, and that was a tremendous victory. Thank you very much. And also, Representatives Jim Jordan. Where's Jim? A great wrestler. A really great wrestler. I won't go over the record because the only way you're not great is compared to this guy, perhaps. But he's a warrior in every way, and we appreciate you being here. And Mark Wayne Mullen, thank you very much for being here. And I'm glad your son is doing well and setting records also. So these two guys are great. They're really, really fantastic people. Dan was born and raised in the working-class town of Waterloo, Iowa. His mother said she knew Dan would be a wrestler the day they brought him home from the hospital. Even as an infant, Dan refused to let his back even touch the ground. That's sort of an interesting statement. Probably so. At 4 years old, his parents sent him to the local YMCA, where he learned to swim, wrestle, and play football. When he reached high school, Dan decided to commit himself entirely to wrestling. His coach quickly saw his unmatched intensity and gave Dan the keys to the gym so he could come first thing in the morning to practice. At first, Dan was alone, but as he achieved one victory after another, the rest of the team followed his lead. He worked hard, but he was also born with something very special. It's called talent. And talent, you either have it or you don't. During his time in high school, Dan's beloved sister, Diane, toughest time in his life, was murdered. Afterwards, Dan poured even more of his energy into wrestling, and his exceptional success brought happiness and pride to his family, especially in overcoming this incredible heartbreak that they had with what happened to Diane. As a high school wrestler, Dan went 64-0, not losing a single match. And I have to say, Jim Jordan told me all about, I knew all about Dan, but he told me things that are pretty amazing. Right, Jim? Pretty amazing. Dan then attended Iowa State, where he secured 2 NCAA wrestling championships, national wrestling championships, 3 Big 8 titles, and became a 3-time All-American. He won 117 consecutive matches and lost only one. Well, you know, in politics, I won 2, so I'm 2-0, and that's pretty good, too. But we'll see how that turns out. After that lone defeat, Dan vowed that it wasn't going to happen again. He couldn't stand the feeling of losing a match. He rededicated himself to mastering the sport and soon adapted his wrestling style to reach new heights of greatness. Sports Illustrated labeled Dan the hardest working athlete in the world by far, and detailed his rigorous routine of working out 2 to 3 times a day, every single day of the week. They estimated that Dan produced 60 pounds of sweat every 7 days. That's a lot. I'm not sure I want to hear about it, but that's a lot. That's a lot of work. In his pursuit of perfection, Dan suffered multiple injuries. His nose, multiple fingers were broken, and his feet, very tough stuff. He pushed every single muscle to the absolute limit. Nobody's ever done it like him, but his unwavering grit and focus have propelled him forward through all of that adversity, tremendous adversity. Before matches, Dan would repeat the words, cakes, carries, ducks, picks, shucks, sweeps, over and over again. I'll have to ask Dan why. Why, Dan?
Because they're all moves that end the match.
Oh.
And you get your hand raised.
Oh, wow. So
that's
pretty good.
Head. I wasn't worried about his moves. I was only worrying about my moves.
Wow. Well, you did whatever it was, you did the right thing. He had only two things in mind, scoring and dominating. In the midst of the Cold War, he was selected to represent Team USA at the 1972 Munich Olympics. The leader of the Soviet wrestling team proclaimed that he would search the USSR and find a wrestler that would defeat Dan Gable. That was his big ambition. And they found somebody that was considered one of the greatest anywhere in the world. But they failed. Dan won every match and did not give up a single point. How many matches in the Olympics, Dan?
6.
So you won every match and you didn't give up a point.
None.
And that's a record. That's a record, I think, that still stands. To do that, did the Russian in the final did not get a point?
Russian did not get a point.
And what did you win that one by?
Only won it 3-0, but...
That's okay. That's pretty good. What do you think, Jim? Have you ever heard of when you go 6 matches and don't give up a point against great talent?
I watched it, right? I watched his final match against...
It's amazing. It's really... That, to me, that's amazing. Not giving up a single point. He toppled Soviet preeminence in the sport. At that time, Russia's... They had the greatest wrestlers in the world, they thought, except for Dan. And they sort of felt they couldn't beat him. Defeated their wrestler in that final match and took home the Olympic gold medal. As a wrestler, Dan set a pin streak record of 25 consecutive pins. Now, I'm larger than you a little bit. Do you think I could take you in wrestling, huh? Would I have a big advantage?
You would have no chance.
What do you think? I agree. Do you agree with that, John? I do. I agree.
He's the expert.
That is held to this day, 25 consecutive pins. He was also the first American to win consecutive world and Olympic titles. Dan went on to coach at the University of Iowa, where he secured 355 victories and 15 NCAA team titles. And Jim Jordan told me that he was the greatest wrestler ever, but he may have been a better coach. Right, Jim? Now, has any team in any sport ever won 15 NCAA team titles? Because I don't know. I mean, I think that's a lot. That's more than UCLA in basketball, right?
Yes.
So I don't know if it has any. Jim? I don't think so.
I think it may be the most.
I think it's incredible. His team scored an average of 17 victories for every loss, and he was named the University of Iowa's all-time winningest coach. And I think probably you look all over the country, it would be the all-time winningest coach. So that's incredible. 15 NCAA titles. As a coach, Dan has trained, guided, and mentored 152 All-American athletes, 106 Big Ten champions, 45 national champions, and 12 Olympians. He was also the head coach of 3 U.S. Olympic teams. Dan has said, quote, I never jumped for joy as a player, but I always jumped for joy as a coach. In other words, he did his job, but he was really rooting for those other people to do theirs. That's great, Dan. It's a great statement. Dan has been inducted into the USA Wrestling Hall of Fame, the United States Olympic Hall of Fame, the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, and the United World Wrestling Hall of Fame. In 2013, he helped ensure that wrestling remained a very important top Olympic sport. The National Wrestling Hall of Fame has built a Dan Gable Museum in Dan's hometown. a permanent reminder of the incredible journey that started in the great state of Iowa. I love Iowa. I love Iowa. And I knew those polls were wrong. They had me losing Iowa, Dan, and we won Iowa by a lot. There were a lot of polls that were wrong. I love that state. No one has done more to promote wrestling in America than Dan Gable. He's an athletic giant who conquered one of the most difficult and ancient sports in the world. He's the greatest wrestler probably ever. We've never had anybody like him. He's made our country very proud, and he is a true GOAT. You know what GOAT is? GOAT, greatest of all time, right? He's the greatest of all time. Today, in recognition of his really exceptional achievements, Dan will become the first wrestler in history to receive this, our most important award, along with the Congressional Medal of Honor. I would now like to ask the military aide to step forward to present Coach Dan Gable with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. But before doing that, I'd like to have Dan say a few words, please. Thank you. Dan, please.
Down here. Wrestlers are all sizes and shapes, so. I asked how much time I had up here because I'm not used to a short talk, and they said I had 3 minutes. And I'm used to speaking to, groups for 45 minutes and so on. And I had one company actually bring me in for 4 hours straight a talk. And I did it, and they brought me back 4 more years after that. So I must did a good job. I learned to become an assistant coach under a good mentor, a good head coach at the University of Iowa, and they sent me out into the community to promote the sport that they really weren't excelling at and wanted to do more. So, I learned to talk because I didn't do it well, and talk helped. Yet talk didn't win me over. Performance and lifestyle did. It wasn't perfect because nothing's perfect, but no place on this earth is perfect, and there's always room for improvement. The success one has with others, as he mentioned, is more important than the success you have as yourself. I wouldn't be here on this podium if I just had won this Olympic gold medal. It has been a lifetime of work, learning from many others to be an outstanding competitor and person, then taking that knowledge and applying it to many, many others in different ways to have them perform at their highest so they can be real successful. And that group of individuals become team members, and because of their individual great performances, great historic teams and family performances are the results. Proof is in the results. And the proof is here today. My immediate family of 23, who are all right here, led by my wife, Kathy, of 46 years. They are living it, and because of this, they all have better chances of success. They are witnessing this historic moment of someone quite ordinary, mostly, going to the highest level as an athlete and then helping others do the same through the professional level of coaching. Did so for years, showing others that are just watching, reading, or listening, who really strive to do the same. It works. It works. Living proof right there. For those that couldn't be here because of limitations or have passed, especially my mother, Kate, my dad, Mac, my sister, Diane, whom he referenced, was murdered in our own home as a teenager because she fought for her life and didn't give in. I know they are here, and they're all proud. I thank you very much for giving this kid here the opportunity to reach this level of the highest award a civilian can get, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And, of course, for all those that pushed the authority, President Donald J. Trump, I thank you for that, including his family. Because, yes, I know this family has wrestled on and off the mat every day. And to the sport of wrestling, being the first to win this award, it becomes a higher challenge to all that participate. By the way, wrestling isn't for everyone, but it should be. And now females are strongly participating across the world. I'm so honored to be here. 3 minutes, what they gave me, maybe a little overtime, not much.
You take your time.
And remember, I've never left practice as an athlete or a coach when it was over either. Thank you.
Danny Mack Gable is one of the greatest collegiate athletes and coaches of the 20th century. As a wrestler, he was a three-time All-American, winning two NCAA national championships and a gold medal at the 1972 Olympic Games. He followed his career on the mat with an even more celebrated coaching career at the University of Iowa, leading the Hawkeyes to 21 Big Ten championships and 15 national championships. The United States is proud to honor Danny Mack Gable for his remarkable contributions to the sports world and to our great American story.
Thank you for doing such a great job. We appreciate it.
We aren't done yet.
Do you have any questions for Dan, please? John, for Dan?
So many times college wrestling isn't appreciated in the way that other forms of wrestling are. Do you feel that this Lifetime Achievement Award for you fully recognizes the sport of collegiate wrestling?
I look at it as a inspiration, and that others will have something that's beyond just winning on the mat, that they'll be able to want to do something like this, and so it'll enhance our sport. Because it isn't just like right now, me and him wrestling, and whoever wins the match gets a medal. It's more than that, and that opens the door right now for a lot of people.
How does it feel to be in the Oval Office today?
How does it feel? The one time I didn't focus on what I needed to do, I lost. So you have to ask all them. I don't know. Where am I?
That was just super cool, you guys. I wasn't around for much of Dan's competitive or coaching success, obviously, but it has been really, really cool getting to know him during kind of the wrestling ambassador portion of his career. I've always enjoyed my conversations with him. I usually see him, after every Iowa wrestling duel at Carver. I'll see him at random high school wrestling events and especially the state tournament every year. And then I'll see him, at different wrestling promotional things or, kind of whatever he's got going on, book signings or, last year I went to the Hy-Vee in Ankeny because they carved his likeness into a huge cheese wheel. I've really gotten to know him over the last few years since I've been covering wrestling in the state, and I know for a fact he is absolutely tickled about this award, maybe far more than any previous wrestling award he's ever received. So that should tell you just how much this means to Dan Gable. As you heard on the audio, he has actually stayed heavily involved in wrestling even in retirement. I think we all know this, but here's a couple of his really big accomplishments, or accomplishments that I think are probably more noteworthy than a lot of the others. In the early 2000s, he worked behind the scenes to save Division I programs from being discontinued as an unfortunate side effect from Title IX. Back in 1981, there were 146 total Division I wrestling programs. But by 2012, that number shrunk to 77. Last season, the 1920 season, there were 79. So a lot of his hard work and a lot of his behind the scenes, I just constantly getting after things like this. He was able to kind of stabilize Division I wrestling. And I know we're about to lose a couple more because of the coronavirus, but, Division I wrestling programs have mostly stabilized. And every now and again, we get a few new programs, and it's always fun to kind of see those younger programs, really do well and build up over the last few years. And a lot of that can be attributed to Dan Gable. In 2013, he used his fame and knowledge to help keep wrestling in the Olympics after it was put on the chopping block by the IOC. Not only has wrestling remained, but the United States has actually thrived on the international level. You guys know these numbers probably all too well, but let me rattle them off again. Between men's and women's freestyle and Greco-Roman, those are the Olympic disciplines, Team USA has won 28 medals at the World Championships in 2017, 18, and 19. What's more, 13 of those medals, so almost half of them, are gold. So we've 13 individual world titles in 2017, 18, and 19. On top of all of that, the 2017 men's freestyle world team brought back a team championship for the first time since 1995. Got a hold of USA Wrestling Executive Director Rich Bender earlier today, and he also had this to say, quote, "Dan Gable is the most consequential figure in the history of our sport in our country. He has everyday household recognition, and he's been the backbone of our sport for a long time. Dan Gable is being honored, but I think the sport is being honored too, and I know Dan works every day to move the relevancy of wrestling forward," end quote. Wrestling is as popular as it's ever been, guys. The Big Ten Network posted record viewing numbers for its wrestling programming last season, and to accommodate the growing interest, the 2020 NCAA Championships before COVID were supposed to be held at US Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, a football stadium, for the first time in the history of the event. Gable has fueled wrestling's rise thanks to his fame and his relentless work ethic. And on Monday, he attributed his longstanding success to the lessons the sport has taught him from the very beginning. He hopes others are going to take aim at those accomplishments. That is today's show, you guys. If you've made it this far, whether this was your first episode or you've been with us from the very start, thank you so much for listening. You can catch In the Room on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and now Omni. Like I said earlier, we jumped ship from SoundCloud to Omni, which is partly why we had a two-week gap between shows. So be sure to catch every episode on whichever one of those fills your podcast listening needs. If you liked what you heard on this episode of In the Room or in past episodes, do me a favor and hook me up with some 5 stars and some kind words in the review section. It makes me look good in front of my editors, and I would greatly appreciate the gesture. Don't forget to follow your boy on Twitter, at Cody Goodwin. That's CodyGoodwin. You can drop me a line if you got any questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions. You can also just say, hey, what's up, hello, if you'd like. Be sure to also subscribe to the Des Moines Register for all your updates, news, and analysis on wrestling in the state of Iowa. You can find a link to do just that, as well as stories from this past week, in the show notes. That's all I've got for this episode of In the Room. Thanks again for listening. I will catch you guys again soon.